Good evening.
Good evening.
It's good to see you here tonight. What kind of light am I supposed
green.
To have?
A little green light.
I got a red light.
Hit that button again.
Green is good.
How about that? I got a green light.
You got it.
I'm going to be confused when I get back on the road.
Yeah.
I won't know whether to go on red or green. All right. I want you to be turning in your Bible to the book of Judges tonight. I'm going to read from the 15th and 16th chapters of the book of Judges. We are studying a series of thoughts originating from a request the disciples of the Lord made of him. Luke chapter 11, they came and asked, Lord, teach us to pray. As John also taught his disciples.
Amen.
And my conclusion was that John had no New Testament text available to him to use in teaching his disciples about prayer. So the only scripture he could have used would have been Old Testament text. I don't know that the text I'm using are some that he used, but he could have.
Yes.
They were available. He knew about them. He could have used them. So we're preaching on prayer from the Old Testament.
You may have, preacher.
And I want to reiterate that my mission is not to talk about the abstract principles of prayer, which is well and good, but to talk about actual prayers that people pray.
You may have heard.
We've talked about one of David's prayers on Sunday. And then yesterday evening we talked about one of Moses' prayers. I'm going to read two prayers tonight, and both of them are prayers that Samson prayed. Judges chapter 15, I want to read verse 18. And then in chapter 16, I will read verse 28. I probably won't look at both of these tonight, but I will maybe finish them tomorrow. But Judges 15 and verse number 18, somebody tell me the second word of that verse.
He.
And that is a personal pronoun, and whose name is that personal pronoun used concerning? Samson. I'm going to put his name there since I'm just reading the one verse. And Samson was sore athirst What did he do? And he called on the Lord and said, Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant. Now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised. But God clave a hollow place.
Yeah, amen.
That was in the jaw. Now you're going to have to read more than I'm reading to understand it. Mm-hmm. The jaw is the jawbone of an ass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Samson has just got finished using that jawbone as an instrument of war.
Yes.
Amen.
Yeah.
He has slain 1,000 men.
Yeah.
You ever figure that ratio? How many Samsons did you need to have a pretty good army? I mean, all you have to figure is just 1,000. Well, he's slain 1,000 men, but the Lord clave. Now, seem like we looked last night a little bit at that same word in a little different tense.
Yeah.
Didn't the Lord say to Moses, I'll put you in a cliff or a cleft of the rock? It's the same idea. And the God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water there.
Yeah.
And when he had drunk, his spirit came again and he revived.
Yeah.
Now he'd about had it. But when he got a drink of that water out of the well, the Lord did.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
He had him a little revived.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hakori, which means the spring of the cord. Now you might want to note in your Bible or in your notes, that's the first prayer that we have a record of that Samson ever prayed. It is not said prior to this in his history, as recorded in the Bible, that he has ever called on the Lord.
What about that?
But the scripture does say at this point,
yeah,
he called on the Lord. Now, I want to look on over in the 16th chapter and verse 28. And Samson called unto the Lord. Now you see, you can write this down. This is the second time that we know of that Samson called on the Lord. And if you want to go ahead and write it down, this is the last time.
What about that, preacher?
That we know of that Samson called on the Lord. Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. Now, I think I told you Sunday morning I wasn't going to be in a hurry, and I'm not in one yet. And that's why probably tonight and tomorrow night is going to be taken up about these prayers of Samson.
Amen, preacher.
I used to preach all of this at one time, and when I get through tonight, you'll be thankful I've split it into two times.
Yeah.
But the last prayer, especially, is pretty complicated. And I won't say much about it tonight, but it is pretty complicated. But would you agree with me on this point? We have evidence that God heard both of these prayers.
Yes, He did.
Now, some of the thoughts that we have about Samson would leave us with a question mark. So what kind of a fellow he was. Some days you read about him in the record of his life, which is found in Judges 13, 14, 15, and 16. Some days seem like he might be all right. Some other days seem like he might be a fellow you wouldn't want to be around a lot. But now, God answers his prayers.
Yeah, he does.
Amen.
Does that matter?
Sure.
Now, what does that say? Maybe I need to turn the question around. How many answers have you had of late?
Uh-oh. Yeah.
And we just think about how we do it with prayer.
Oh, listen.
Now, Samson, all the record we have was two times. I don't know, maybe he prayed every day. I don't really know. But this is all I have on the record. And both times, there's evidence God heard him.
You may, yeah.
I'll give you a name to tag on both of these prayers if you want one. The first prayer was a prayer for refreshment.
Yeah.
Man, he'd been fighting hard to kill 1,000 men with the jawbone of a donkey.
Yeah.
He'd been fighting hard. That'd take a lot of strength and a lot of exertion to do that kind of a thing. But now, hey, he is weary.
Yeah.
He got through with the battle. And he said, Lord, you've given me a great deliverance, but look like I'm going to die first.
Yeah.
God said, well, that's just no problem. And he opened up a place in that jawbone and said, have a drink. That's a prayer for refreshment.
Yeah.
You ever get dry and weary? Think you're going to fall out in doing what God put you in the world to do?
Yeah.
Well, ask Him. He can dig a well for you.
Yeah. Amen.
He can open up a stream for you.
Amen.
Give him refreshment to you. Like I said this last night, the main reason for unanswered prayer is unasked prayer. God is more willing to hear an answer than we are at times to ask.
Yes, that's right.
Now the second prayer, if you want a word to put by the side of it, and this is going to reveal why it's so complicated, but there's not another word that I know in the English language that will fit as an overall word to describe the second prayer. It is straight out a prayer for revenge.
Talk about that. Yeah.
You can't make anything else out of it.
Yeah. No, sir.
Samson prayed and he said, hear me. Remember me. Now, in your Old Testament, when the Lord remembered somebody, that meant more than he just thought about them. Bible said God remembered Noah. What does that mean? Where it's used back over there. That means he come to the aid of Noah.
Oh, listen.
And God remembered Samson. He come to his aid.
Yes.
You say, well, why did he want the Lord to do that? He said, strengthen me, O God, just this one time. I won't ever ask you anything else. This is my last prayer. But he said that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes.
Yes.
Now, you don't want to miss tomorrow night. I'm going to talk about that. It is a prayer of revenge. You say, well, I didn't think God heard prayers like that. Well, I'm not going to tell you that he'll hear you if you pray like that. I don't know that. All I know is he heard Sam.
Oh, listen.
Amen.
He did, preacher.
Personally, I think you and I need to be very careful about that idea. But we'll talk more about that tomorrow night. Maybe we'll know more about it by then. I want to talk tonight just a little bit about Samson, kind of in general. When I was a kid growing up, we always had in the home where I lived Bible reading and prayer. It is every night's business before you went to bed. We'd gather around and we may sing a song or two. Mom or Dad would take the Word of God, read us a chapter or a verse, whatever they chose, and we'd pray before we went to bed. Sometimes they would ask us children what we'd like to hear. And if that ever was an option, I'd always say, I want you to read to me about the time a man named Samson caught the 300 foxes. And he tied two of them together by the tail, and he put a firebrand between them.
Yeah.
And he sent them through the Philistines' cornfield. Man, my eyes would get this big, Brother Chris. I could just visualize the foxes taking off and burning up the cornfield. That'd fascinate
me.
I like to read about that and hear about it. Samson is a mysterious fellow in a lot of ways. He really is. But now I want to say something else about him, and this is in the New Testament. You know, you get to reading the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Somebody tell me, what's the emphasis in the 11th chapter of Hebrews?
Faith.
By faith, so and so did this. So and so said by faith. But you come on over there about, I think it's verse 32. I don't know that I have this even written down up here. It's somewhere way on over in the chapter. There's a verse that just has some names in it.
Right.
Gideon is name. Barak is name. And all of a sudden, there's Samson.
Right.
Now, there may be a lot of things about Samson I can't explain, and it may leave me with question mark, but I like where he's got his name.
Yeah, you're right.
I like where he got his name. Got his name listed among the people of faith.
Right.
Yeah.
Amen. You're a man, preacher.
He may not have a lot going for him, but now you think about what that means.
Yeah.
He's got his name in the right place, and when he prays, seems like God answered.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's just stacking up pretty good. Isn't it? Yeah. I want to talk a little tonight, particularly about Samson and his power.
Amen, preacher.
Samson and his power. That fascinates me, does it you?
Yes.
And it seemed like it was very intriguing to everybody that knew anything about him. Everybody wanted to know how in the world does a man like that do things like this?
Yes.
I said one time that Samson's physical presence was intimidating to people. And somebody asked me after the service, said, well, what do you think he was like physically? I said, oh, maybe you misunderstood me. I really don't think that Samson was, I don't think he was an abnormal size. I don't find anything in the record that would indicate he is built like Goliath or anything like that. I don't find anything about that. I guess the average height of a Jewish boy was about 5'6" or 7". That's not unusually tall. I don't think if you met Samson in the street that his muscles would be busting off of his shirt sleeve. I don't think probably that was the case.
No.
But what I mean is this. His physical presence was intimidating. Hey, look. When you have said to a group of people, here's a riddle, and if you solve it, I'll give you 30 changes of garments. I'll give you everyone a new wardrobe. And you lose the wager, and you just go kill 30 people and rip the clothes off of them and hand them over.
Yeah.
And then you get hemmed up a little bit in a city, and people think they have you cornered, and you just walk up to the gate and just pick up the gate and tear the post out of the ground and take it 50 miles over yonder on the hill and lay it down. And then when you reach down and pick up the jawbone of a donkey and kill 1,000 men, you don't have to have a big body to be intimidated. All you have to do is show up.
Yeah.
Amen.
You don't have to do anything. Who is that fellow, that Samson? Let's get out of here. Let's make way for him. Let's give that guy some room.
Amen, preacher.
He was an egotistical dude, I'll tell you that. I have to put something in for these young people nowadays, so if you think you're a young person, look at me.
Yeah.
I really think if Samson had had a cell phone, he'd have took a selfie.
Yeah.
I think he would. There is something to be said about a person who gets their greatest thrill of taking their own picture. I won't say it, but there is something to be said. But I believe Samson was very egotistical. He was. I believe he was sold on himself. I could, but I won't draw any comparisons of public figures. I'll let you figure out who best fits that. But he was sold on himself. But you have to hand it to him now. He had some power. Let me show you two or three things, and then we're going to be through. Look, if you will, please, in chapter 13 of the book of Judges. Chapter 13. While I read, beginning in verse 1, the children of Israel did evil. What's the next word?
Again.
Oh, boy. Did evil again.
Yeah.
Now, before we jump on top of them, let me just look at me again. Has anybody in this house ever had to ask God to forgive you for the same sin more than one time?
Oh, yeah.
Amen.
Sin has a way of working itself into a pattern.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
The children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. Well, what happened? And the Lord delivered them into the hands of the Philistines 40 years. So the pattern of sin put them in slavery, didn't it?
Yeah, oh, it did.
40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah of the family of the Danites. Now, Dan was one of Jacob's sons, wasn't he?
Sure.
Dan. This man's name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. Now, Manoah's wife is never called by name that I've been able to find. Somebody asked me, said, who was she? I said, she's Mrs. Manoah. But now look in verse 3. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman. Now you want to mark that particular statement. The angel of the Lord. This is what we call in the Old Testament a theophany. You say, what in the world is that? It is an Old Testament manifestation of Christ.
Right.
Not bodily, but visibly.
Right.
You'll have to think about
it. Anybody have a preacher?
Not bodily, but visibly. Old Testament. Now, the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink, and eat not anything, any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, I want you to mark the last part of that verse. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. You know what that is? That is a prophecy.
Yeah.
That is a prophecy. The Lord told his mother the purpose that God was giving her a son.
Yeah. Yes, preacher.
He's going to be the man that begins to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. I don't know if that's helping you much or not, but Israel has done evil again, And God has said, you're going to be sentenced for 40 years. But he hadn't no more than got it out of his breath until he turns around and says to a woman, I'm going to give you a boy, and he's going to begin to deliver.
Yeah. You're right.
Sometimes I look around in the world and say, well, Lord, where's anybody that can help us out of this mess?
Yeah.
Only God knows. There may be a child in the womb of a mother somewhere this very time.
Yeah. What about that?
God may have given life and breath and will, anoint with such power.
You may have preached.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes.
Now, who knows but God?
Right.
I just want you to know there's a prophecy behind this guy. Prophecy behind this stuff. Now, I want you to look in chapter 13. There's a lot more in the first part of the chapter. I'm going to move on down to verse 24. The Bible said, the woman bare a son and called his name Samson. Now, if you look up the name Samson, you'll find out it means little son. S-U-N.
Yeah.
I'm from the country, so I'll give him a country name. Sonny boy.
Yeah.
His name was Samson, and the child grew, watch it now, and the Lord blessed him.
Yeah, well, he did.
Now what my focus is tonight is Samson and his power. How did he have such power?
Hear me. Yeah.
He grew, and the Lord blessed him.
Yeah.
Don't run past that.
Yeah.
Look in verse 25. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtol. Now if you're keeping notes, here's your second point.
Yeah.
That was a prophecy.
Yeah.
You may have, preacher.
Secondly, there is a person.
Yeah.
The Spirit of the Lord.
Yeah. Oh, listen.
Amen, brother.
The Spirit of the Lord. Now, I want you just to take a little tour with me. Chapter 14, verse number 6. And the, and what's the next four words?
Spirit of the Lord.
Spirit of the Lord. All right. Look on over in verse 19. And the Spirit of the Lord. Look on in chapter 15 and verse number 14. When he came to Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Now, you want to mark all of those times. We're talking about the power of Samson.
You may have, Brother Dillon.
Why did he have power? That was a prophecy.
Yeah.
He wasn't here by accident. He was sent for a purpose.
Right.
Amen, brother.
But had a reason to put him here. Now, when God sends a person for a purpose in the world, friend, he will empower that person.
Yeah.
Yes, he will.
Amen, brother.
Now, I want to back up and read this verse again, verse 25 of chapter 13. Now, watch me as I read it. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move him all the time.
No.
That's not what your Bible said.
No.
Didn't say that, did he?
No, it didn't.
Spirit of the Lord didn't move him all the time. It's just at times. Learn this about your Bible. Little phrases and small words carry big loads.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
They do.
Yes, sir.
Well, they do, preacher.
Now, I wish it were so that the Spirit of the Lord moved him all the time.
Yeah, preacher.
But that's just not the way that it was. The Spirit of the Lord moved him at times.
You may have, preacher.
At other times, other things moved him.
Right. Yep.
Yep.
Right.
That's right. At times, other things moved him. Now, there's only one person that has ever lived on this earth about whom it could be truthfully said, and the Spirit of the Lord moved him all the time.
Oh, yeah.
You're right.
Anybody got any ideas who that is?
Oh,
yeah.
Does he have a name, please?
Well, sure.
And what is his name? Jesus Christ, all right. Somebody give me chapter and verse for that. Let you do a little homework. There is a verse for it. You don't hear much said about it, but there's a verse that plainly tells it. Anybody want to take a stab at it? See, I'm not questioning the statement. I just want some proof. See, that's what you got to have.
Right.
You got to have some proof.
Amen, preacher.
Let me just give you something to look at. And somebody can read it. The person that wants to find it can stand up or just speak up and read it. John chapter 3, verse 34. John chapter 3, verse 34. Who's got it? Brother Shane, how can you go, brother?
Brother, he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him.
Okay. God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. And the personal pronoun is referring to Jesus Christ.
You may have, preacher.
You say, what are you telling me? I'm telling you the Bible says that the relationship between Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost was not something that could be measured. Why couldn't it be measured? You cannot measure the absolute completeness and full. No way to measure.
Yeah, no way.
You may have preached.
Now that's not said about anybody else, but the implication is everybody else that's ever had dealings with the Holy Ghost, it was only in measure.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
You say, well, that's Old Testament. I got news for you. I wish I could say that the Holy Spirit always moves me, but sometimes other spirits move me and other things move me. I don't know how many of y'all live in the same world I do, but I have a battle with what moves me.
Sometimes. Amen.
Yes, sir. You may have heard.
I know how it ought to be, but getting there sometimes a mess, Brother Kerry.
You may have, preacher.
Somebody told me, said, you just need to be full of the Holy Ghost. I said, pray it'll happen. I'm sure not fighting. Just pray it happens. Amen.
You may.
Listen to me. our relationship with the Holy Spirit is measured.
You may approach.
You say, well, boy, I'd just like to be full of the Spirit all the time. I doubt very seriously we could handle that. I doubt we could hold up. But
that's right, preacher.
We'd probably blow a fuse if that happened pretty quick. We'd be like the bulldog getting barked and barked and barked at the train as it went down the track. One day he caught the thing. When he did, he still didn't know what to do with it.
Yeah.
I might not ought to pray for that. Might just ought to pray, God, give me what I can. Give me just what I can say.
Yeah. You may approach.
Got to be measured to us. Got to be measured to us. All right, let's move a little further. Look in chapter 14, and I'm going to read a little more here. Chapter 14, verse 1, I'm just reading right on down through verse 4. Have your Bible with you. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I've seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. His father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren, among all my people, that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. I'm going to interpret that for you. She's pretty and I like her.
Yeah.
That's a loose translation. Now all of that's, you know, it's self-explanatory. But now look in verse 4. Here's something I want to read. But his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time the Philistines had dominion over Israel. I'm fixing to give you a third word. There's a prophecy connected with Samson and his power. There is a person, the Holy Spirit, connected with Samson and his power. And there is a puzzle of providence that is connected with Samson and his power.
What about that, preacher?
Now, I'm going to tell you two things about verse 4, and then I've got one more word and I'm done. You're supposed to have said hallelujah.
Yeah.
Now here's the first word I'm going to tell you. God never said that what Samson was doing by going and taking this Philistine woman was okay with him. He never said that.
Oh, listen.
See, God never okays anything selfish and sinful.
That's good thought.
Won't ever okay it. He won't ever say it's all right. He won't ever agree with it. I've had people say to me, said, well, David had a bunch of wives, and this one had a bunch of wives, and that and another. We ought to be able to have a bunch of wives. I said, show me one place in the Bible where God ever agreed with all that.
Never did. Yeah, he never did.
When he made Adam, he made Eve.
Right.
And he made Eve for Adam. And he made Adam for Eve. And that's the way it was. That's the pattern. And God never put his approval or his agreement on anything but that patent.
You may have preached.
But now, while that is true, I want to make this second statement. God never agreed. But God is big enough to take the messes that you and I make and get His will done in spite of
it. What about that?
Amen.
You may have, preacher.
He is.
Why, sure He is.
Now, every one of us in the room is living proof of that.
Sure we are.
I'm not going to try to confess your sins tonight, but every one of us is a living proof of the fact you ain't got to be perfect.
Amen, preacher.
To be useful to God or to be involved. Hey, you ain't got to be a perfect person.
Oh, no.
But that doesn't mean God agrees with our evil and our wickedness. Oh, no. But it means that God is bigger than the biggest mess I've ever made and the biggest mess you've ever made. He's bigger than that. And there are puzzles in providence in every one of our lives. Some of us, the only reason in the world that God has ever used us at all is we were at the right place at the right time. And that's about the only reason He'll ever do it.
Yeah. Hear me, preacher.
There are better servants, there are better equipped servants, more effective servants, but you put your life where God can get His hands on it, and you take your hands off of it, and you just be there, I'll promise you, God will use that.
Yep. Amen. Amen.
Can I explain all of that? I can't, but I know it's so. There's a puzzle of providence. Mom and Daddy said, you don't need to go down there. And he didn't. He didn't need to go down there no more than Rahab needed to tell a lie about where the spies were.
Right.
Yeah. Good evening.
Yeah.
She did lie about it, didn't she?
Yeah, sure she did.
Did God use the old girl? He did, didn't He?
He did.
Hit them just right. How about that? God's done some big stuff.
Yes.
Big stuff. Sometimes, man, you get in on some of it.
Right.
So, there's a puzzle of providence. All right, I want to read 16:20. A lot has happened now. Samson has been captured. About to be captured. He has gone down to Delilah's house. And she has pressed him for the secret of his power.
Yeah.
I want you to notice something quickly. He has told her, I am a Nazarite unto God. Now that's what he told her.
Yeah.
Now his hair was a sign of that vow.
Right.
It wasn't the secret of it. It was the sign of it. You know what Delilah did? She called some fellas in. They shaved his head, hair off, and all of that. And look, if you will, in verse number 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departing from him. And the last word I want to leave you tonight is this. We've seen a prophecy. We've seen a person. We've seen a puzzle in providence. The last word is the word presumption.
Yeah.
Presumption. Samson's problem. Was not the fact that he had power. Samson's problem was the idea that he thought he had power.
Yeah. Oh, listen.
He thought he had power. How many of us have heard this phrase in the last 5 to 10 years? Too big to fail.
Yeah.
The person, the nation, the preacher, or the country, the community, the church, that thinks they're too big to fail, don't exist. The only person that cannot fail is God. Everybody short of that. It's a New Testament verse that reads like this. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Presumption. So how do you know he is presumptuous if he hadn't have been here and known when the Lord departed?
Right.
He didn't know it. He didn't know God had withdrawn from it. You say, well, where was the secret of his power? When he wanted it back, where did he go to get it? Did he go to the barbershop?
No.
Or the toothpaste store? Is that where he went to get his power?
No.
He got bowed down over between them columns and called on God. He knew his power was coming from God.
Yeah. He made a preacher.
But at the point when he went down, he'd about sold himself on the idea that he was powerful. Well, that's a sobering warning, isn't it? And it's applicable to every one of us.
What about that?
Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. God willing, tomorrow night, I'm going to look at the second prayer. Brother Carl,